We've heard the story several times, so you get the image of the road and the noise and the dust and the dirt, and you've got all of that. You've got the ending with Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. There are so many things in this story that I could speak on today. We could talk about the family that was willing to give up their donkey. They were willing to let it go. We could talk about the disciples, how they took off their coats and put it on the donkey, and what was the meaning in that. We could talk about the donkey. Now, in our culture, the donkey is sort of a But that wasn't the case in the ancient Near East. It was a much prouder animal at that time. And you see, it was really common for kings. If they were going to war, they were riding a horse. So if a foreign king came up to your city on horseback, you better look out, because his army's coming right behind him. But if a foreign king comes to your city riding a donkey, he comes in peace. We could talk about the praises that came from the people. We could talk about the grumbling Pharisees. You know, us church people, we always want everything sanitized. We don't want it noisy. We don't want it out of control. We want to know what's going to happen next. We don't like those interruptions. And they said, shh, keep them down. Keep them quiet. And Jesus said, I can't keep them quiet, because if I keep them quiet, even the stones will cry out. Think about that. The last few weeks, we've talked about the blind man who cried out to Jesus for him to heal him. We talk about the hosannas and the cries of the people. Think about it today. Today, whose voices are being silenced in our world today? Who are wanting to cry out? Is it the young man with Down syndrome who's bagging your groceries? Is it the women and men who are immigrants who are taking care of our loved ones in assisted living? Is it that homeless man who stands by the interstate? Who's being silenced today? We could talk about those things. And they would all make great homilies, and we could all stay here till 1, 1:30, 2 o'clock. If you want to, we could do that, because I could probably do that if you want. But I don't think you do. So let's talk about today, a part of the story that I don't think gets told very often. Let's talk about the tears. Most of us don't like to think about Jesus as crying. We like the image of the conquering hero, the healing physician. We like the image of the person in charge. Not the one who's vulnerable and crying. John tells us that Jesus cried over the loss of his friend Lazarus. But Luke has never shown us any emotion from Jesus until this point. We're from Texas, right? Real men don't cry. We don't do that sort of thing. But think about it for a moment. The very center, the very focus of all absolute power, God, incarnate in Jesus, cries. And you get the sense from Luke's story that this isn't just a few tears running down as he speaks. He's sobbing. He's weeping over Jerusalem. It's not just a little cry. It's a heavy cry. It's a weeping. Complete power is given over to weeping. Jesus' tears on this day of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they are, I think, at the heart of the gospel. Without tears, the judgments that Jesus utters against Jerusalem would be harsh. They would almost seem like, I told you so. They would seem like, see, you didn't do what I said, you get what you deserve. But that's not what Jesus meant. He was so distraught that he had to say the words that he barely got them out. You know, I remember years ago when Hurricane Katrina went through, I remember there were certain people within the church who made statements about this is God's punishment for the city of New Orleans. See, this is what happens if you don't repent, they said. If that's what I think it would sound like if you didn't understand what Jesus' words would sound like if you didn't understand from the emotional point from which they came. These were not condemnation. These were just, unfortunately, the facts. As we have walked through the book of Luke together, we have heard Jesus talk about the impending judgment. He talks about the judgment of other towns in Galilee and in Jerusalem. Judgment because they have refused to listen to the new message of hope that came from Jesus. The towns resisted his call to peace for a gospel of grace that would reach out to all humanity, especially those that were different from themselves. Because remember, Jesus was talking about a new kind of kingdom, one that was upside down, where the last were first and the first were last, where love and grace was the proper response to hatred and violence. And the other, those who were different from us, were not to be excluded. Instead, they were to be embraced, and they were to become not the targets of our hatred, not the targets of our fear and anger. Instead, they were to become the targets of our love and our compassion. The stranger and the foreigner and the homeless were the ones we invited to dinner. That's the new kingdom that Jesus was talking about, a kingdom where forgiveness trumps revenge. Jesus is crying because he doesn't want to talk about judgment. He wants to talk about love. But he understands that in order for humanity to really be able to get it, he must enter Jerusalem. He must allow himself to be taken prisoner, to be beaten, to be tortured, to be killed. He's not crying for himself, but he's crying for the people who have yet to grasp the peace and grace that could be theirs. He's crying because he knows what kind of world the people could have, the world he wants us to have. As I was driving down the road the other day, I heard a news story coming from Stockholm. And I'm sure most of you know the terrorist attack that happened there. And there was a woman who had been on the scene being interviewed by a reporter. And her comment was this: the attacker wants us to respond with anger and fear, but instead we will respond with peace and love. You know, I have no idea who this woman was, whether she was a follower of Christ or not. But I do know this: as I drove down the road that day, a very different road than the one Jesus was traveling a long time ago, I realized that Jesus wept because he wanted to create a kingdom that does not respond with violence to violence, but instead responds to violence with love and peace. As we begin our journey through Holy Week this week, think about the kingdom of God, the upside down kingdom where first is last. Where hatred receives love. Where fear is met by grace. Think about the kingdom of God that Jesus was weeping about that day. That's the kingdom of God that he wants us to have. Is that kingdom within us? Is that kingdom within you? That is why Jesus wept that day. Blessed be the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.